Hello and welcome to The Couch. This is episode 3 and today I'm joined with my friend Carson once again.
Hello.
So today we're going to be doing just talking about some week 3 stuff. I want to talk about the Eagles and their defense and how they put on a way better show against the Saints. I want to talk about the Bengals and definitely the Panthers because that was one of my biggest surprises from the week. Just talk about maybe the rookie quarterbacks just a little bit. And then do our week 4 predictions. Sound good?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. So, let's just get started. So, week 3, I think one of the biggest things for me that I saw overall was, again, the continuation of a lot of offenses clicking. And now we're starting to see the trends from some of the teams that will probably continue throughout the season. Especially the Bengals defense, we kind of are getting more of a sense of where they are, and where they are is nowhere because they cannot stop anything. First I want to talk about the Eagles defense. What a game against the Saints. Jalen Hurts looked good. I mean, besides the pick where I think Devontae kind of didn't plant right and it was kind of a miscue, I think that if A.J. Brown was there, that might not have been a pick. So I'm not too mad about it. I think the fumble also, again, it's just things happen. But I thought from a player standpoint, Jalen Hurts played well and the offense together played well, especially down A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith at the end of that game and still being able to go down and win. But I thought the real standout from that game, well, there's two things, but the good standout from that game is the Eagles' defense because – we were able to get they fixed everything that was wrong in the first 2 weeks. We were able to get a good amount of pressure on Derek Carr. The secondary looked good. Quinnion looked really good. Almost had a pick six, and I don't know. I mean, I just overall the defense played better. I know one thing I noticed is that we had a lot more of 5 down linemen, just going making all of them go one on one with the O lineman, and that seemed to work a lot better, and which is also good because our coverage guys were holding up as well against some pretty good receivers. So I was thoroughly impressed with that. And one thing I have in the doc here is if you look at the snap counts, week 1, you notice that it's all the starters just playing pretty much. For the most part, all the snaps are going to the starters, you know. And then week 2, same thing. But week 3, where the defense looks really good, the snap count is spread out a lot more because more people are playing. More people are rotating in, and they're coming in fresh. And I just think that's great. I thought that was awesome to see the defense actually make a stand and be able to get pressure the quarterback because no matter how good the offense is or how bad Nick Sirianni can coach, the team is going to succeed if this defense can hold up. And I think that it proved against a good Saints offense that was blowing people out of the water.
Yeah, I was very surprised. I was excited to see how Fangio and that defense matched up against Clint Kubiak and an offense that has looked nothing short of unstoppable through the first 2 weeks. And I know there's a Panther tax in there. And I mean, but the Cowboys was no joke. I mean, they blew them out of the water. And I was really excited for this game. And I think that y'all might have given the rest of the league the recipe kind of for how that is. But I don't think anyone else can really follow that. Because, I mean, again, Quinnion Mitchell played great. And really just disrupting Carr was huge. And, I mean, again, Saquon was just carrying the load on offense. And he's been amazing this season. I've been very surprised, actually, with how he's played. And I don't know. I think the Eagles are better than what people give them credit for.
And I agree because I agree that the first 2 weeks there were definite flaws, especially week 2 in that collapse against Atlanta. You could definitely tell the flaws in the defense and the coaching. Not really in the offense because I think offensively we've looked pretty good every game. But I will say the defense and the coaching have looked suspect. But I think in that win, it shows that we have the people on defense to do good and play well. So I thought it was a really big statement game, especially the fact that we could get pressure and not just the secondary playing well.
It's two. I mean, that was not easy to do.
Yeah. And but I will say, Nick Sirianni left so many points on the board by going for it on fourth down or stupid decisions that led into long field goals. Jake Elliott missed a 60-yarder. There were multiple times we went for it on fourth down, didn't get it, and left points in a game that was close. I mean, there was a chance where we were down three. We're in the red zone. We go for it on fourth down. We don't get it, and we're down three still. It's like, I understand you want to make an impact, but in a game that you're playing one of the most high-powered offenses in the NFL, why are you going to leave points on the board? Yeah, like, maybe the first time, okay, but the second time, like, let's at least get some points there. Like, I think a lot of the times teams want to go for a fourth down to keep the momentum, make a statement, keep driving. But at some point, if you're doing that and not getting any points out of it, why are you not just kicking the field goal? Why are you not just taking the points? I feel like going down and getting the points, that puts you in a groove more than going out every time and not getting anything.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, I don't know. I don't know what'll get them to kind of see the light on those kind of situations, but I'm afraid it'll take having a big mess up in a big time game for him to realize that that's just not the move against good teams and close games. You don't risk points like that when you've got them in your back pocket.
And that's the thing. He's already had that example and defended himself the whole time.
Yeah.
Like in against Atlanta, he had a collapse in a fourth down call and we lost the game. Now, I will say it's not a big-time game, like it's not the playoffs or the Super Bowl, but still, I mean, it's not like this is the first time that going for it, being this hyper-aggressive has bit him in the ass. Same thing with Dan Campbell last year in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's that thing that's like, oh, if they get it, they're geniuses. If they don't, oh, like it's a terrible call. There's levels to that, like... That's not all the way true. And I think Nick Sirianni is too hyper-aggressive sometimes. But, look, it's a win is a win. I think this was a good, solid standout performance for the defense. And I think this is where the defense will start trending later in the year. But besides that, besides to get my Eagles rant out of the way, you want to talk Panthers? I mean, the first thing I said, what do you want to talk about this week? You said the Red Rifle. So you just want to go ahead and talk about it?
Yeah, that was just a pleasure to watch. I loved every minute of that game. And, I mean, the team just looked completely different. They were rejuvenated, it seemed like, with a different quarterback. And, I mean, the defense, which I really had low expectations coming into this year, you lost a lot of key pieces. You lost Burns. You lost Luvu. Now Derek Brown's out for the year. I mean, just really nothing to look forward to. And they played well, better than I thought they would, against the Raider team. I think Mike Jackson has been an incredible addition by Dan Morgan. Traded him for a linebacker we just drafted in the seventh round, Michael Barrett, that the Seahawks ended up cutting. And we've got a solid cornerback, too, playing real well in return. But the main thing was just the offense. The offense was clicking for the whole game, just about. I mean, Dalton was in complete command of the offense and just was very decisive in what he wanted, which I think is what Bryce was lacking the first 2 weeks. A lot of the pressure was because of him. He was kind of creating this own pressure, even though he was given pockets. And Dalton was decisive with it. He knew where he wanted the ball to go, and he gave it to him. And I think that made a big difference.
And I agree. I mean, the O-line looked spectacular. I was watching some of the highlights, and it's like every blitz that they put on you guys, it was picked up. There was almost no pressure on Dalton. And when there was pressure, Dalton was just making a decision. He wasn't hesitating, just... one thing I wanted to talk about overarching about the Panthers is this O-line play, because even when Bryce was there, the O-line has been picking up blitzes extremely well. I think there was one blitz maybe where there or maybe one or two that there were just unblocked guys. But, I mean, in this game, the O-line played so well, and Andy Dalton had the time. And even if he was pressured, he made the right decisions, or at least a decision that didn't hurt them. I have two pictures right here. I'll throw them on the screen. But in the first one, it's Bryce Young against the Saints. And you see the Saints are going to end up bringing five right here. And Bryce Young kind of stands in the back of the pocket. The interior line kind of pushes back, and there's some interior pressure. Bryce stands there, but since he's so short, he has to kind of throw the ball a little higher than he wants to, and it goes over his receiver and gets picked off, which I don't think that's bad instincts, but it's kind of one of the knocks of his physical prowess as a QB. And then there's another play from the Saints game where they bring six, and this guy's unblocked. But he has Chuba wide open. Chuba kind of leaks out, and he has somebody wide open. And instead of just dinking it or trying to throw it away towards the ground over there, he just takes the hit, and you lose about 7 yards on third and six.
Yeah, I mean, it just seemed the whole day that Dalton had answers that Bryce maybe never did for some of these. Like, when you're getting blitzed, and you know it, you got to know where your safety valve is on those. When you've got a plus one coming at you and you know that someone's going to be unblocked, you have to know where you're going to go with the ball instead of trying to hold on and throw. I mean, on third down, trying to get the ball to the sticks. I mean, it's fine on third downs to not get the ball to the sticks. And there were multiple occasions and examples of Dalton doing that on a third and eight, just throwing it 4 or 5 yards and just living to see another series after that instead of holding on and making a turnover-worthy play.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I was going to say about this second picture is that in the video, you can see that this guy is coming to blitz. He shows pressure. And even if he shows pressure and then doesn't end up blitzing, Bryce should see that and be like, okay, like let me look at my safety valve. And he just doesn't. He just doesn't. So I think that's definitely one of the things that he can improve on. And Andy Dalton looked great at identifying pressure and getting the ball out quick in that game against the Raiders. He looked amazing. Every time that it flashed on red zone, it was very progressive. It was like, okay, the Panthers are scoring. And then you see they score again and they score again. And you're like, what is happening right now?
And yeah, I know. I mean, I've never seen him. I can't remember the last time I saw him score back-to-back touchdown drives. I mean, that was
probably on the Bengals.
Dude, probably.
Yeah, probably 2014 or something.
Dude, it's been dang near a decade, it feels like, that I've been able to see that. And who would have thought it would be Andy Dalton leading the way?
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were talking about Andy Dalton, not the Panthers. I see.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the Panther drives. Yeah. No, I don't see many back-to-back scoring drives very often.
Yeah, and I don't know. That one throw, I don't know who he threw it to, but he threw it right between the two Raiders defenders, like bullet. That was crazy.
He played Adam Thielen, and Thielen ended up getting hurt on that play.
No. Not that play. That was another dime. That was a dot.
You're not talking
over the top. No, it was like a curl. It was like a curl concept in the middle of the field. Yeah, he just zips it between two guys perfectly.
They hugged the line of scrimmage. It was Spillane and another backer, and they split out opposite ways, and Leggett kind of sneaks in behind them and just runs a spot route, and Dalton just again super decisive, just fires it right between them, and then, I mean, you get a guy like Leggett the ball, and he gets another 25 rack yards. And I mean, it's just about getting the ball to your playmakers. And that's what Dalton was doing the whole day. Gave Deontay Johnson a career game too.
Yeah. And that was one of those, you know, instances of, you know, they were mugged up. They're kind of showing pressure almost. And Dalton says, okay, like if they're bringing pressure, I know who I'm going to. He sees that they're mugged and that they back off, and he just fires it right in between them. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, and that's partly just veteran. I mean, he's been the quarterback. He's been in the league since 2011. He's been a quarterback for 13 years. So that's part of that's a veteran. And I think that's what needs to happen for this Panthers offense is Dalton go out there and set an example for Bryce almost.
Yeah, I think this will be good in the long run for Bryce. Whether, I mean, if he does end up coming back later in the year that they decide, I think that this is good for his progression nonetheless.
Oh, yeah. And, well, I do have to ask, is the Andy Dalton jersey in the mail? You did mention last week that it was coming in the mail. Is it? I mean, I feel like you have to.
I think I do, honestly. It's just about what color at this point.
Do you guys have any cool uniforms this year? Like the color? They don't have to do Color Rush anymore, but maybe like a alternate?
I mean, they didn't add any new ones. I know fans have been asking for a white helmet for the longest time.
That would be love, nice.
For some reason, just wearing white. I don't think we wear anything other than white until week 8 or 9. It's all white until then, which I don't like, really. I prefer the black uniforms, but apparently they're superstitious, the equipment crew, and they like wearing white.
Well, I don't, what superstition is happening?
It's superstitious from like back in like the mid 2010s, like when Cam was still there. He was asked about it, and they just thought they played better and they won more games wearing white back then, and I guess they've just kept going with it. But
I feel like there's a certain amount of time before that's broken, right? Like there's a certain amount of years
white to change that, but
well,
I guess they're keeping around. I'd rather wear blue or black, but hopefully we'll rock the all blacks with the black helmet at some point.
So. That would look really cool. A lot like those Lions jerseys. Those all black Lions jerseys.
They're wearing Monday night.
Oh really? They're wearing one Monday night. That's ooh.
Yep. Yeah, because they're home against Seattle Monday, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I did see that they were wearing their alternates for that.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, yeah, I think that this is just a great look for the Panthers, because, I mean, everyone I was watching the game with was like, what's happening with the Panthers? And I'm kind of shocked, too. But it's like, when you look at it, if you take out the quarterback, they've got a pretty good team. And the O-line's pretty solid. Chuba's good. Miles Sanders isn't a bad backup running back. You got Deontay. Adam Thielen's not a bad veteran guy. You got Leggett. I mean, this is a pretty solid core on offense.
Yeah, I mean, Brooks will be coming in
mm-hmm.
Probably after this week, I think. He'll be starting to get ready to, I guess, try and take Miles Sanders' spot or maybe even Chuba's spot. I don't know how that'll go. But, yeah, getting Jonathan Brooks will be huge. And I'd like to see now with Thielen out for the next 4 games, just the foreseeable future, I'd like to see who steps up to take that spot, whether it be Mingo or Leggett. I think one of those will get an extended role with Dalton, and I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, and even Mingo with Thielen out, I think Mingo's pretty solid. I mean,
he's
in the Panthers games last year, he was kind of one of the few bright spots to me on that offense. I mean, he played as well as he could.
Yeah, he had Bryce left a lot on the bone with Mingo's stats. He could have had another couple hundred yards and 2 or 3 touchdowns on it that Bryce ended up missing him on some deep balls. But so he's better than his stats showed last year, and he's great in the run game blocking too. He's mauling people.
Yeah, I mean when we went to that game versus Atlanta last year, he was pretty much the star of the show in the receiving room for the most part. I mean, it was pretty rainy, but I mean, he had that nice catch to get him into the red zone, like nice little toe tap, and I mean he's pretty solid. I don't think he's a bad third string at all. So I think he could definitely step up as well.
Yeah. I think it's just all about his development. He's pretty raw coming out of Ole Miss, and so I think he just needs time.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I'm glad for you that you got your Panthers win. You're not looking like the next team we're going to talk about, the Bengals. This team has looked rough, like beyond rough. Because if you look at it, Burrow's stats aren't that bad. He has one turnover. It's a fumble. It's not even a pick. He has 70% completion rate. The offense is 13th in points per game. And they're right behind 12 and 11. They're right behind the Eagles, and I don't remember who's at 11, but and they're right, like they're not far from being close to top 10 in offense of stats. Same thing with, well, on the flip side, their defense is just the thing selling them. Their defense is so bad. They're 13th in opposing yards per game, 14th in opposing yards per play. So they're allowing big chunk plays. They're 21st in opposing third down conversions. So they're letting almost everybody convert on third down. And they're giving up 27 points per game.
I think it starts up front with them. Their pass rush has been abysmal this season. It's been really bad.
Oh, yeah, and that's evident in that game this week against the Commanders, where Jaden Daniels seemed unaffected. He had his best performance so far. And, I mean, he was able to stand back there and look for McLaurin and hit those deep shots. And then even if there is pressure, the pressure is not strong enough to contain Daniels. So he just escapes and runs the ball or checks it down somewhere. And honestly, I don't even think that their secondary is that good either.
I don't think so either.
They have Cam Taylor-Britt, who's pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
And who else?
They brought back Von Bell, who was in Carolina last year.
Yeah, but he didn't play at all last year, right?
No, he did.
He did? Okay. Who did?
Okay.
But, I mean, he's not even that great either. I wouldn't say he's anywhere, like, top 10 in safety, even in the safety position. So, their entire defense is just riddled. But you're right. Every flaw for most teams starts up front, either O-line or D-line. And because I think those are the most valuable cores of teams.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at every good team, they will have either a good D-line or a good O-line or both. And the D-line for the Bengals, something needs to happen. I don't know who or what they could try and do. Maybe if they could get a blockbuster trade for Micah Parsons. Who knows?
Maybe that'd be their saving grace.
Maybe. But I don't even know about them because their tackles are so bad. You can just run up the gut. Same thing with the problem with the Cowboys.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. They are looking rough. And then everybody's kind of blaming. The narrative is that Burrow is the problem.
Yeah, they always put it on the QBs, which, I mean, he's not playing losing football. I mean, obviously, the team's just not as good as previous years that he's been used to. Maybe not. I mean, it's not really on the offensive end. I know they lost Mixon, but it's really just a defensive problem right now. And yeah, I mean, when you're not able to efficiently stop the run or rush the passer, that's just always going to be a recipe for disaster for any defense. It's just going to be frustrating, letting up back-breaking third downs and just demoralizing chunk plays.
Yeah, and I don't even know if they get a win this week against Carolina. That was kind of the segue I was looking for. I'd
like to see them against the Panther line. That's what I'll be looking for.
Yeah, because if the Raiders, who have a pretty good pass rush and pretty solid defense, if they are almost, you know, they virtually were not there in that game. And now you're going against a team who has a very high-powered offense, but that defense is there. I'm expecting Chuba to have a huge day, and you guys should just control the game and the Bengals have virtually no time of possession.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how our defense does play after. I mean, they played I don't know if I'll say lackluster Raiders offense. I mean, Minshew's had his moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm excited to see how JC Horn matches up against Ja'Marr Chase. He's finally putting together a string of healthy games, knock on wood. And he's looked great, was all over Devontae Adams last week. I think he just had over 20 yards that game, three catches, about 20 yards. And, I mean, they just did a great job at holding him. So I'm excited to see what Ja'Marr Chase will do.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, this will be a pretty high-scoring game. But I don't think the Bengals take this game. Maybe – I don't think that they take this game. I think their defense is so bad that there's almost no way they get stops throughout the game. And that you're right. Like JC Horn has been playing pretty well, but besides that week one against the Saints, he's been playing pretty well. And I don't see a way that the Bengals win this game.
He played all right in week one too.
Yeah, but still, like he's played really well the other 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't see a way that the Bengals lose this. And I don't know that a way that they kind of flip this around, unless they get somebody in free agency or you know, before the trade deadline. But I can't even think of guys that would be on the trade block.
I don't know who they'd go after to completely flip the script for their defense, because right now it looks kind of like a lost cause, and they kind of need to revamp it just in the draft and free agency. I'm not sure if there's a quick fix to it.
And I mean, that's the solution to a lot of the problems for teams, is like they can't really be fixed by, you know, one thing. But I mean, some interesting trade things are, you know, maybe, you know, the Dolphins decide, or maybe some teams decide, hey, maybe it's rebuild time, and, you know, who knows? And maybe they get somebody from there, a more veteran guy who might be better. The Titans, you know, they might decide, okay, let's try and get some assets, and maybe it's time to move on from Will Levis. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, the solution is the offense has to play about as high powered as it can be.
Yeah.
And even watching that Commanders game, they struggled kind of. Not like struggle in a losing way, but they couldn't really run the ball most of the game, and they couldn't keep up with a Commanders offense.
Yeah.
So, you know, I honestly think that they will have one of the worst records in the NFL by the end of this year, and a very surprising, like, last place finisher in that division.
Yeah, I do not expect them to come out this flat,
especially with the Steelers already being 3-0.
Yeah,
with Justin Fields, I don't see a way that they can even make the playoffs.
Yeah, it's just backbreaking playing, and I mean, starting this slow, and not only that division, but that conference is very unforgiving for bad stretches. And I just don't think that they're able to turn it around and make a run, honestly.
Yeah, I don't, there's almost no way. Well, we have about 8 minutes until we go to break. So I let's just talk about this, because we did just kind of mention him. It's at the very bottom of the dock. This is a fun question I've been thinking, because of Caleb Williams' struggles and, you know, the irrationality of football fans. People are saying, like, oh, Bears now should have kept Fields. I don't agree with that. So let me just ask, would you rather have Justin Fields or Caleb Williams? If you're the Bears, would you have stuck with Justin Fields, or are you taking Caleb Williams? And let's just look at the stats before we even talk about anything. So for their first complete starts for both quarterbacks, Justin Fields was 29 for 57 for 388 yards and had a touchdown interception, and was sacked 12 times. And they were 2-1 in that three-game span. Williams, in this three-game span, is 70 for 118, 630 yards, 2 touchdowns with 4 interceptions, sacked 13 times, and they're 1-2. And honestly, if you look at these, it's a very similar story. I mean, it's a very similar story besides the interceptions, but I think that's just because Williams is taking more chances. But Williams has about as double, you know, the amount of completions and attempts, and about double the yardage, double the touchdowns. They've been sacked about the same amount. And I would say that Williams is definitely in a better situation on offense, but I don't know. I would still take Williams. What about you? Well, I want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I would take Caleb Williams still. Just, I mean, the potential is, I mean, it's not been tapped into yet, obviously. And I think that the disparity between their stats is just a lot from the situations that those teams have found themselves in. The Bears have just found themselves down in a lot of games,
mm-hmm.
or in the few games this year, and they've just passed the ball more. And the Steelers are already a run first team.
Those field stats are from when he was on the Bears, the first three games of the Bears.
The Bears ones?
Those are his first three games with the Bears. I also have his stats for the Steelers team, but we'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't really overreact to, the more interceptions or, the sack stuff. Their offensive line is not very good. I think Williams has about, I guess he's fallen under a lot of people's expectations, but I don't think anyone really knew their offensive line problem would be as evident as it is. And I think he's still just building chemistry with guys because he's shown it the flashes in games. So I would still take Williams over Fields.
Yeah, I completely agree. Williams is clearly the better prospect, more complete prospect to me. And I think that the idea that they should have kept Fields just because he's doing good now. So his stats for this year for the Steelers, he's 55 for 75. He's got 518 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. And they're 3-0. He's been sacked 6 times. And while I will admit, his sack rate is down, his time to throw is down, and he's getting better at the things that he struggled with on the Bears. But I don't know if that's a Steelers offense being better thing or a him improving. And I think that Williams is just going to be the better thing long term. He's even putting up better stats before. I would say he almost has better stats than Fields right now. Throughout this year.
Maybe.
They're pretty comparable. Same amount of yards, same amount of touchdowns. Williams has thrown more interceptions, but I think they're asking Williams to do a lot more than Fields.
Williams has thrown the ball a lot more, mm-hmm. and I would say he's in a better offensive situation than Fields. I think some of it just has to do – a lot of it has to do with scheme. Arthur Smith offense, they're going to run the ball a lot, and they are just – I think they're really emphasizing getting it out of Fields' hands quick when they do pass the ball, which is a lot different than what the Bears are trying to do with Williams right now. And all the weapons that they have.
Well, and I agree. The schemes are different, obviously, but I wouldn't even say that Williams has that much of a better situation because the interior O-line is so bad. Last week against the Texans, I think there was 11 dropbacks where he was not pressured. He was pressured then more than he wasn't. And I think that their situations are almost... it's closed the gap because of how bad that interior offensive lineman is. And I think that Williams is even, I think that Williams is even playing better. And I think that by the end of the season, Williams will clearly be the better option.
Yeah, no, I think so too. I think by the end of the year, he'll establish himself as a much better quarterback than what Fields has been so far.
Yeah. And I will say that the play calling for the Bears is very limited because of that run game. The interior O-line is not good, and they have DeAndre Swift. So it's a struggle all around. Against the Colts defense that has struggled against the run all year, DeAndre Swift had 20 yards and a negative 12-yard loss. One of the worst.
I think I had seen a stat talking about DeAndre Swift's yards per carry from the start of his career in Detroit and all the way until now. And it was pretty steady, a little above 4 yards or right around 4 yards a carry. And I think now it's 1.8 this year.
Yeah, so I just looked it up while you said it, and his average yards per carry this year is 1.84. Here, let's just look up Khalil Herbert. Or who's getting more carries, Khalil Herbert or?
Probably Khalil Herbert. But I did see, I think they want to do some stuff with Roshan Johnson more.
Khalil Herbert's at 4.6. No, that was last
year. DeAndre Swift just sucks, who knows?
Yeah, no.
Go Khalil Herbert, man. Go Hokies.
And even Roshan Johnson, even when they're in the game, Roshan Johnson was even running better than Swift. So I think that just altogether this Bears offense needs to make some decisions, and the kind of there should be no worry for Williams at this point. I would say at the end of the season, if it's still this bad, I maybe raise some eyebrows, like, okay. But I think that it's going to get better. I mean, he's literally gotten better in every single game. So, all right, well, we're going to go ahead and go on break, and we'll be back. All right, welcome back. We are back from break, and I think on this half we're going to be doing our predictions for week four, and we'll kind of talk about our picks from week three. We did kind of jump into today's episode, though. I didn't even tell you. I'm wearing this nice blue Chargers Melvin Gordon jersey. It looks so sick.
Yeah, I've only brought my one Bryce jersey. Don't really have any other one to put on, and I don't think that's good for the occasion. So I will not be wearing it.
I guess so, but yeah, I'm thinking I need to be. Hopefully, I can like thrift a jersey for like $5 every week. Doesn't even matter who it is. Just get a new one. But anyways. So how did your week three picks go?
I'll have to look back at some of these teams. I think I could have done a lot better. I think there were definitely some misses. I'm trying to think. I missed on that Commanders game. You got me on that one.
Yeah.
Bengals bouncing back, and you were spot on about the Commanders.
I really thought that was going to be the game. And I thought, honestly, they were going to put their rushing attack together more.
Yeah.
Because B-Rob didn't really hit. I mean, he had like 25 yards or something. But still, they were able to get it done, and so I was excited about that one. Let me try to pull up the week three.
And
you look up the schedule, and it's like
Saints over the
we
the
did
Eagles
we missed
and
that
the Rangers
one.
Over the Panthers. We both missed those.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I got most of the games. If I'm being honest, I don't want to sound.
I remember I picked the Steelers and you picked the Chargers. I think I picked the Lions. You picked the Cardinals.
I did pick the Cardinals. No, I picked the Lions. I picked the Lions.
Oh, you did? I picked the Texans and you picked the Vikings. Mm-hmm. That was a surprising game. That was maybe the most surprising game. Maybe the Andy Dalton game. That was.
And we can talk about that real quick because the Vikings, what a start.
I mean, they've played great. Sam Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin O'Connell is doing wonders.
Yeah.
With Sam Darnold. It is crazy how well they're. And Brian Flores, maybe even more so with that defense.
That defense is one of the best. They're third. Their offense is third in points per game. And their defense is like top 10 in like every category.
Yeah.
It is crazy. So, yeah, Brian Flores is doing an amazing job, and the Vikings honestly do look very scary, like, actually, and which was not something I expected going into the season. I thought Sam Darnold was going to have a pretty decent year, but I wasn't expecting the defense to play as well as it does, and it's been playing pretty much lights out, and I think they'll continue it this week.
Yeah.
But, wow. I mean,
Flores has just been calling games like a madman. Having him do just some of the most exotic looks you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And Grenard had a great revenge game against the Texans. And just, I mean, Gilmore looked good. I mean, their whole defense, I mean, they looked great.
I forgot they get Gilmore, too.
I was hoping that he would come back home, Carolina. And it looks like he made the right decision, though.
Yeah.
With the Vikings.
Well, and another thing that's pretty surprising is Aaron Jones is looking pretty good.
Yeah,
I mean, solid being in the run game
paid off.
He
would play well, and he's maybe exceeded some of my expectations too.
Yeah. And I have in one of my leagues, I ended up trading him away, but he was pretty solid. He never ended up starting. It was always like I had Mixon and Gibbs, mm-hmm. and I was like, you know, I don't really want to start him. You know, we'll see. And then he played good, and I traded him away. But you know. But I mean, that whole team has been really, really good. Now I think they're going to keep it going. But do we want to go ahead and just jump into week four picks?
Sure, I'm down with that.
All right. So obviously the game tonight, Giants Cowboys. This one for me, this is one of the major upset alerts. I think most people assume the Cowboys are going to win this game. But I think they've really struggled against the run, and I think that the Giants might be able to capitalize on that and maybe pull out a win here. And Jones honestly hasn't looked that bad. And by Jones, I mean Daniel Jones. Jerry Jones has kind of looked the worst with the way he's put this team together almost. But, yeah, I think Daniel Jones, 600 yards, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I mean, I don't think that the Giants offense is as much of a mismatch as people are thinking. Neighbors has been playing out of his mind. And, I mean, Devil Singletary is a pretty solid back, too. So I don't think that this is a game that is out of reach for the Giants and would be a crazy statement game for pretty much the rest of the NFC East.
Yeah.
If the Cowboys end up starting 1-3. And another thing is this Giants defense. I mentioned it last week because week one, they didn't really look great. But they were playing the Vikings, who we didn't know were going to be this high powered every week.
They were giving Deshaun Watson some problems.
Oh yeah, I mean, in 3 games they have 14 sacks.
Yeah, that front seven is no joke.
Yeah, and Dak, this is another thing though. The Cowboys' O-line's kind of been struggling too. Dak has been sacked 9 times, so I think Dak is going to have a lot of trouble up front, and they can't run the ball. Zeke and Dowdle don't look that great. And they can't really get anything going. I saw something on TikTok that like Deshaun Watson is like would be the leading rusher on the Cowboys. There's something like that. Hold on, let me look up Cowboys rushing leaders. Not this season.
I'll look up the Deshaun Watson rusher.
Yeah. Look up some other people too. It was like all these random people.
How many yards does Zeke or Dowdle have?
I'm pulling it up right now. So the Dallas rushing leader is Rico Dowdle with 88.
Deshaun's 85.
85. So he's almost there. But there was somebody. Well, anyways, hold on, we gotta find this QB. QB rushing leaders. Because I want to see how many people are above him. Honestly, here, I'll just look at the rushing leaders. We'll go down all the way to yards. Who is 88? Will Levis is at 86. Right there, right behind him. Ranked at 50. Jaden Reed has more rushing yards than the Dallas leading rusher.
Oh yeah, because he got that one play week one, right? Didn't he? That little little handoff that he got against Philly.
Braylon Allen, Carson Steele, Emmanuel Wilson, Tyler Algier, Bo Nix, up there at 107. Wow. I mean, yeah, this Cowboys offense is just. It's chuck it to CeeDee Lamb, and there's no alternatives.
Yeah, I'm with you. I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Giants did upset the Cowboys. Their defense has been iffy. Malik Nabers coming off a great game, kind of his coming out game, where he just, I mean, 2 touchdowns, looked great, had some phenomenal catches. And, I mean, the Giants offense just played well. And the Cowboys, again, I mean, I know they haven't had the easiest matchup.
Wait.
I mean, the Ravens.
I haven't been recording. You.
Oh, that's fine. Whatever.
I think. Hold on. This should have been recording you here. Say something real quick.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Keep talking.
Hello. Is this better now?
Okay, it's recording you through. Here, I just won't have your video, but I will start doing that right now.
That's fine. Maybe not, Sean. What if I
recording
just...
in progress.
Oh, okay. Well, now it's just gonna be looking at me for the whole time. Well, I hope I didn't look stupid at all. When I was editing this podcast the other week, whenever you were talking, I was so locked in on listening to you, I would just be staring at the mic. Anyways, but back to Giants Cowboys. What were you saying?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants did pull it off from how good Malik Nabers looked and just their offense as a whole for New York. I mean, Nabers played amazing and looks like a star pretty early, and the Cowboys have been reluctant to look good at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they've played
the Saints team on fire, and they played just the Ravens, who not happy about being 0-2. But they kind of came alive towards the end, whether that be, you know, partly on the refs or not. But I think the Cowboys do just come out with a little bit of just a bad taste in their mouth. And I think they beat the Giants.
All right. I'm going to disagree with you. I think the Giants have some momentum, and I agree that the Cowboys were starting to come back in that game. But, you know, I'll take the up. Give me the upset. Give me the upset. So,
McCarthy to get them boys rolling.
I don't think McCarthy could do that if he tried. So I give me the Giants. Just give me the Giants. Here, go ahead and highlight in here so we can look back next week. Highlight in like
mine and
yeah, and like a blue color or something. And if it, and then if we have the same pick, just leave it yellow so we know.
Good Lord, it looks so weird from where I have it right now. Like this view, yeah. I have never seen this before.
Here, I can do it.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, so let's move on to the 1 o'clock games, and we'll start with Saints Falcons. Give me the Saints in this one. I think a bounce back game after a tight loss to Philly. This Falcons run defense giving up 150 rush yards per game. If Alvin Kamara plays, I think this is a pretty easy Saints W. I don't see that with the defense that the Saints have. I think there's enough playmakers to disrupt Kirk. And I think the Saints win this one.
I'm going to disagree with you again.
Oh.
I think that the Saints are going to stall a little bit here after a rough loss against Philly. I think the Falcons showed what they're capable of last Sunday night. I think they should have beaten the Chiefs. It was right there for them. And I think maybe if one call, one little pass interference gets called, or maybe a couple other things throughout the game go their way, they come away with that one. I think the Falcons are going to get the win there.
Okay. All right, now Bengals, Panthers. Now, honestly, now that we talked about it, I have the Bengals highlighted here. I did think they were well, but I think I'm going to change my answer. And I think the Panthers end up winning this one.
I think I'm going to stay on the hype train. I'm going to say Panthers too.
No, I'm going to stick with the Bengals. I'll stick with the Bengals. I Panthers can win this game, and I will be just as happy.
Hey, these next 2 weeks, the Red Rifle revenge games, right? Oh, yeah. Cincinnati and Chicago.
That is true. I did not think about that. But yeah. But I think that, you know, we were talking about earlier the Bengals defense being rough, and I even mentioned that I think Carolina might be able to control the game for this. But I think if you look at the offenses, they have a shot to compete. By keeping up just offensively, and I think that they have a shot to win, and maybe this is about a 50-50 game if I've ever seen one. So it's close, but you know, just to kind of spite you, I'll say the Bengals.
Yeah, nice.
Just to take the chance, you know. You know.
Yeah.
I want to. If I get all these right, then I'm up 3-0. You know, might as well.
It goes both ways.
Yeah. Well, That is true. But it's all about the risk. All right, well, let's move on to Rams-Bears. I think this is another close matchup. Rams, one of the worst defenses in the league. Bears, one of the best, but obviously the struggling offense. Who do you got in this one?
It is close. I the Rams just off a great upset win, and Bears have not seemed to get their offense going, but I'm once again going to be a little delusional. I'm going to pick the Bears. I think Caleb Williams, it's just a matter of time before he gets it clicking.
Mm-hmm.
And I trust their defense. It's really just their offense when they'll get going. And so I'm hoping again that it'll be this week.
I'm in agreement with you. I'm going to take the Bears too. I think that there isn't enough standout players on this Rams defense to make up an impact. You know, last week, even against the Colts, the Bears, they didn't have DeForest Buckner, but there's still some solid pieces on that Colts D-line, enough to disrupt, for sure. And I think that the Bears will be able to keep up, and I think Caleb Williams does have a good game. Especially if they just let him lean into it, just chucking the ball. Like let's get him some reps. Let's just go all out.
You gotta get him in a rhythm, really.
Yeah, yeah, for real. I think if the first couple drives they can score and get some points on the board, they might be in for a big game. Go ahead and give me the Bears. Moving on to the Bears divisional rivals, we got Vikings Packers. I think this one's pretty simple for me. Malik Willis, he looked good last week against the Titans, but you know it's the Titans. I think they're gonna they find ways to lose games more often than win. And give me the Vikings. I think Brian Flores is too good of a defensive coordinator to not at least cause disruption for Malik Willis, and I don't think that he's going to be able to run or even function in this Packers offense. Like last week, I think that Josh Jacobs isn't going to be able to run like he has when Malik Willis has been starting, and I don't think that he's going to have the supporting cast. And I also don't believe in this Packers defense either. I think the Vikings will continue and get another dub here.
Don't sugarcoat it, Chalmers. I'm there with you. I think that was one of the most convincing wins the Vikings just had last week against a great opponent. And until I see anyone really shut the Vikings down or walk all over them on their defense, I'm going to be picking them. They just look so great on both sides of the ball. And yeah, I mean, just Packers. I mean, Malik Willis did look good, but a lot of mistakes from the Titans, and it just wasn't that hard of a game to win, I think, for Green Bay. And so I'm going to take the Vikings.
Yeah, and sorry. I mean, you just said not to sugarcoat it. I'm going to do the same thing here. Jaguars-Texans is the next game.
Oh.
One note I have on the doc is Jags stink.
I don't know if we need to even...
That's all I need to say. I'm going to give me the Texans in this game. If they find a way to lose, I'll be more surprised.
In Houston, too?
Yeah.
Take it, Houston. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll move on. Steelers, Colts. I think this is kind of a test for Justin Fields in a way that, like, he can't mess up to lose this game. I think that obviously they have a run heavy offense already. They're going to be running the ball the whole time. I think that the only way they lose this game is if Fields, loses it for them. I think their defense is going to cause problems for Anthony Richardson, just like every other defense for Anthony Richardson. And I don't see the Colts being able to have the ball long enough to put up a fight. The run defense is too bad, and the Steelers have two good running backs in Najee and Jaylen Warren. Give me the Steelers.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said, and I'm still going to take the Colts over there.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to believe that I think – Anthony Richardson will have a better game than what he's been having. I think I'm hoping that he'll show something. Part of that might be a little bias for my fantasy team, but I think they'll get it going though.
Okay.
Even though they're facing a great defense, I think it'll be closer than.
I mean, that's the main problem with the Colts is the offense just isn't there. Anthony Richardson missing easy throws.
Some sort of consistency. I mean, there's just been open throws he's been missing. Jonathan Taylor's looked great. He's just been very questionable decisions. Had a botched play at the goal line last week. There was a lot of stuff that I think if they get that fixed up, they could easily win.
Yeah, I mean, and I can see that. But I think that the interior, I think the front seven overall is not good enough to stop the Steelers run game.
And I think more so might be the Colts defense that I like, I guess, more than
really
the offense than the Steelers defense. I think the Colts defense, without a DeForest Buckner, I think they still are a great unit and that they can cause Justin Fields and their offensive problems.
Okay. Well, I mean, we pretty much have entirely opposing views on that. So we'll come back and see that. That one's going to be interesting. We'll go ahead and move on. Broncos Jets. This one to me seems like a close game. I don't know why, but I'm getting the vibe. I'm just getting the vibes. This to be a close game.
Yeah.
Bo Nix looked great last week. But I do think that the Jets in the end will get the win. I think Aaron Rodgers, has enough experience to go ahead and take this one in a very close matchup against Denver.
Yeah, I'm there with you. I'm taking the Jets, but I will say I was not expecting Bo Nix to have the game that he did last week. I'm pretty sure I specifically said that he was not going to have a breakout game.
Yeah, I do remember you saying that.
And that he did. So I will man up and admit that I was wrong about that.
Yeah.
I will also say they're not going to beat the Jets. I'm going to be pretty confident in that.
Okay. Okay. Well, so if they come back next week and the Broncos win, it seems that Bo Nix will be your daddy.
Okay. I don't know about that part, but
I mean,
so Bronco fans just want me to pick everyone against them, I guess. If I'm wrong 2 weeks in a row, being this bold, then
I think you have to take the Broncos the next week, if that's the case.
I have to. I have to see if I'm doing something with them.
Anyways, so we'll keep moving. You got Eagles, Buccaneers. Give me the Eagles. Revenge game.
Game.
Defense look good. I think Jalen Hurts. I think the offense is going to put it together a little bit more. Now, Devontae and AJ Brown are probably both going to be out, but I think we're going to put the ball on the ground enough, and I think we're going to win this game.
Yeah, I like to see how y'all's secondary matches up with that.
Oh, yeah.
With the Buccaneers receivers. I'd like to see that matchup, and I will agree with you though. I think the Eagles are going to beat Tampa.
Yeah, I think that the defense is going to be the main component for this win, because I just trust this offense, which I shouldn't probably, but I trust this offense enough because of the playmakers that, you know, they'll be able to keep us in the game. Next we got Commanders Cardinals. Now, I've been high on the Commanders all year pretty much. And Jaden Daniels looked great against the Bengals, but I do think the Cardinals win this one. I think after a tough loss to Detroit, I think they're just going to come back in and win this game. I think it'll be a great game, though. This will be another test for Jaden Daniels, see how this works. But, yeah, I think the Cardinals are going to go ahead and take this one.
I agree. I think the Cardinals just have a little too much on offense for the Commanders to deal with. And Gannon in that defense, I think they'll be enough to at least stall the Commanders for long enough to win that game.
Yeah, I mean, I was very high on Jonathan Gannon in this defense, but I will say they have played lackluster to what I thought they should be doing. I think that the Commanders definitely have a shot to be in this game, but I think the Cardinals will. I agree. I think that their defense will do just enough to keep get them the win. We got Patriots 49ers. I think the Niners win this one. I mean, I don't really have much else to say. Probably we'll get to see some Drake May. I think that's what I have to say. We'll probably see some Drake May at the end of this game.
Yeah, I agree. Give me the 49ers.
Yeah. Especially because they might get Kittle back, and I think Debo might come back. I haven't heard the latest on him, but
Jennings filled in pretty well for him.
He did. I mean, he had a crazy fantasy game, and the amount of people who had him on their bench, and he drops 46. Like, I mean, if he was on my team, I probably wouldn't have started him either. But that's a feeling you can't get rid of. 46 on the bench.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Anyways, So give me the Niners. Chiefs Chargers. These are all the 3 o'clock games. Starting with the Commanders Cardinals, these are all 3 o'clock games. Let's go Chiefs Chargers. Give me the Chiefs. They just always find a way to win. I saw the press conference where Mahomes was talking about they just hadn't played good, and that he hadn't played what he wanted to play or how he wanted to play. And I think that just like last year, they're going to put it together and start winning more decisively in these games, especially against a divisional opponent. I think they get the dub against the Chargers.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think the Chargers – I think they can make it close. I think that's just how they're playing ball right now, but I think the Chiefs are just too much for them. I don't see a way that the Chargers win this game.
Yeah, and honestly, I think that Carson Steele has a pretty solid game this week. To me, I think that this is the week I would start Carson Steele. I wouldn't have started him last week in fantasy, but this week is the week I'm like, okay, Let's start him. He looks solid. Had about 8 points in PPR and against the Atlanta team where they didn't really run the ball that much during the game. The Chiefs didn't. But I think that this week he has a pretty solid game. He seemed to be involved in both the pass and the run game, so I think he has a pretty solid outing.
Yeah.
But we'll move on to Browns Raiders, the last of the 3 o'clock games. This is very similar to the Jags. I think just give me the Raiders. Raiders defense is too overwhelming for this Browns offense. I don't think Njoku is going to be back. I don't think that Deshaun Watson should be a starting quarterback. I think he's shown that he should not be a starting quarterback anymore. And there's no way that they win this game.
Yeah. I mean, Watson's just looked like a fraction of his former self. And he can't be protected at all behind that line. Their offense has just not looked good for most of the year. And I think the Raiders are going to also come out with a little bit of vengeance. I think they are not happy with the team they lost to last week in that fashion. So I think Antonio Pierce is going to get them rolling for this game. I think they'll bounce back.
Yeah, I think some business decisions will be made.
I think so.
Yeah. Did you see that stuff, though? Just to go off track for a second, did you see the clips of Jack Jones?
Yeah, I was about to say Jack Jones. Those were a little...
That's wild.
That must be a fun film session, actually, for them.
Yeah, I mean, he can't even, like, he's not playing, he's kind of given up. That Adam Thielen touchdown was on him, am I right?
Yeah.
It was right over top of his head.
Yeah, we need to watch it again to see who, because they were in too high in that Adam Thielen thing. So whoever that safety was.
He beat the safety more.
That's like
it was number one.
That was bad. Because you shouldn't be able to throw that against the too high look normally. But
I was watching that. I'm sorry. I just interrupted you. What'd you say?
No, you're good. I'm done talking.
Oh no! Would you just say it again? I think it cut out.
I think I was just saying that. I mean that throw shouldn't be possible to be made against two high safeties, really.
Yeah, I agree. It's it was number seven, I think, who was over, and their safety, Trevor Mohig. Trayvon Mohig. That's what it's about. Anyways, I mean Jack Jones was still involved in the play, and anyways, I think that. That's such just a poor decision. Like, what? Like, why? That's such a bad attitude to have. Like, I can get being frustrated, but if I'm playing a game and I'm getting frustrated, I'm not going to not try. I'm going to try even harder.
Yeah.
It's a bad mentality, especially one that does not fit this Raiders.
Not at all.
This Raiders mission statement, for a lack of better words. But anyways, yeah, so we both got the Raiders. Go ahead, and we'll move on to Sunday Night Football, Bills-Ravens. This one is going to be good.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited for this one.
I cannot wait to watch this game. This is going to be good. I think it's going to be really close, but in my opinion, I think that Josh Allen is going to make more plays, and I've watched a lot of this Ravens team this year, and it seems to be... not stagnant, more like conservative. And I think that the Bills are going to take more chances, and I think that the taking of more chances is going to win them this game. You know, taking shots down the field, playing more aggressive is going to win them this game.
I think this will be the last game that I disagree with you on. I think the Ravens offense compared to the Bills defense is pretty one-sided. I think that the Ravens offense will have a great day. And I think the main matchup is the Ravens defense against Josh Allen. As it always is with pretty much any team against the Bills, it's how Josh Allen is going to will them to victory. And I trust the Ravens defense as a whole more. And I just think Baltimore at home, prime time, they're going to get it done.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, like I said, it's going to be a close game. It's hard to determine who's going to win this one, but I give me the Bills. I know they played Jaguars last week, but watching the game, it was like, yeah, this team's got it. This team, like the Bills, I don't know. I got a gut feeling, I guess. So give me the Bills on that one. Then we'll move on to the Monday night games. Got Titans, Dolphins. Give me the Titans. I think Miami's going to struggle to do anything with Tim Boyle at quarterback, and I don't think the run game is going to be as effective if they're not getting those two high looks because their quarterback is Tim Boyle. So I think that the Titans, who seem to have a pretty good interior D-line, I think that the Dolphins are really going to struggle to run and in turn also struggle to pass. So give me the Titans in this one.
I agree. Nothing stands out to me as to why the Dolphins would win this game after seeing them last couple weeks without Tua. I think the Titans are going to pretty much have their game plan be have Tim Boyle beat you, and I don't think he will.
Yeah.
I just don't trust him at all. And so
EKU legend, by the way. Tim Boyle, EKU legend.
Yeah, give me the Titans.
Yeah. You're not trusting EKU legend Tim Boyle?
Not even really putting any hope into that whatsoever.
I mean, he's got – what other EKU players? EKU
– from, like, Eastern Kentucky?
Yeah. Famous.
Where's that from?
There's probably going to be, like, two or three, but still.
That's what I'm saying. There's someone that
I'm looking. Got Tim Boyle right there. And they have a decent amount of people drafted. Oh, Aaron Jones went there. Oh, wait, no. That's a different Aaron Jones.
That's an old Aaron Jones.
Yeah, that's an old Aaron Jones. Are you looking at it too?
Nobody else.
Yeah, literally no one else.
Prominent, at least.
There'll be somebody. There'll be somebody that, like, the old heads know. They're like, you didn't know Antoine Molden. You didn't know Ray Pelfrey. Anyways, yeah, give me the Titans. And then the last game, Seahawks Lions. This is another really good matchup.
Yeah.
So, but give me the Lions. I think I'm going to say it every week pretty much. I think you said it last week. They have too many ways to beat you on offense. It's almost hard to lose. I think their defense has done pretty well throughout the season. And I think the Seahawks don't have enough going for them to be able to win this one.
Yeah, even though the Seahawks are, they've got a lot of momentum right now. I like the Lions too much.
Yeah.
Against a lot of teams, just so much. I mean, they have so many people on offense, good defense still. I mean, Ben Johnson and Dan Campbell doing a great job. I just like the Lions against most teams, honestly, especially prime time at home. I think they get it done.
Yeah, I don't think that the Seahawks are going to be able to pull this one out, but that's it. So we'll come back and look at those. We should probably start keeping score, honestly. We probably should start keeping score.
Tally it up and see at the end of the year who's up. I guess how much I beat
you. I think right now I'm up, if I'm being honest. I think I'm up, maybe by a couple.
I think that's just delusion, but
okay.
We'll see.
Okay, we'll see. Anyways, next week I think I'm going to have my friend Nathan on as well, if you want to be here as well. Probably be around the same time that we'll record. He's a Bucks fan, so I think it'll be really fun. Whoever wins that Eagles-Bucks matchup is gonna be able to clown for however long we talk about that game, because we will talk about the game. But look forward to that. Well, thank you everyone for watching, and I'll see you next time. This podcast is produced by Student Media. Student Media is a student organization at the University of Evansville. Student Media produces the Crescent magazine published online and in print 3 times a semester. Student Media produces several podcasts and utilizes design, photography, video, and sound towards experimental and academic learning and journalistic endeavors and engaging storytelling. Student Media elevates the voice of the student body and connects the campus and community to important information and points of view.